Hello and welcome to The Bookmonger. I'm John J. Miller of National Review. Thanks for listening. This show is a production of National Review and a recording from the studio of WRFH, the campus radio station of Hillsdale College. This episode is sponsored by Quip, the electric toothbrush, and I'll tell you more about that shortly. Our guest is George Weigel, author of The Irony of Modern Catholic History, How the Church Rediscovered Itself and Challenged the Modern World to Reform. George, in the prologue of this book, you write that the claim is that, quote, the conventional telling of the story of Catholicism in modernity is wrong, unquote. So what's the conventional story in a nutshell?
The conventional story, very briefly, John, is that for 250 years, modernity in all of its forms, cultural, social, political, economic, acts, and the Catholic Church reacts. Sometimes the Church reacts by just saying no. Sometimes the Church reacts by embracing modernity. But the modern world is the protagonist all the way through. That's just wrong. And I think I try to show in this book, I think I do show, that beginning in the late 19th century, this became a much more complicated story in which the Church first gingerly engaged the modern world, then somewhat fulsomely embraced it, and later came to a deep critique of certain aspects of the modern project, in the midst of all of which the Church rediscovered the truth about itself as an evangelical and missionary enterprise. So there are many ironies in the fire here.
One of the key figures in the story you tell is Pope Leo XIII. He was elected pope in 1878. Who was he and why does he matter?
There's a great misunderstanding throughout not only the Catholic Church, but I think anybody who pays even the slightest attention to these matters today, to think that everything that's going on in the Catholic Church today begins with the Second Vatican Council in 1962 to 1965. That's just wrong. It actually all begins with the election of Pope Leo XIII in 1878, who takes, at the beginning of his pontificate, a bold, grand strategic decision that the Church will not simply say no to modernity in all of its forms, as his two predecessors, Pius IX and Gregory XVI, had largely done. The Church, rather, would engage the modern world with distinctively Catholic intellectual tools in order to convert the modern world. That's the beginning of the tremendous transformation we see over the past 150 years now, almost, from a Church focused on institutional maintenance to a Church of missionary activism. That's a fundamental shift in Catholic self-understanding, but it's also a recovery of the Church's original self-understanding. I mean, Catholicism did not begin as an institution. It began as a community of missionary disciples, and that's what the encounter with modernity has called the Church back to being.
So what is the role of Vatican II in the 1960s, which you mentioned? It's often misunderstood, but what is its real legacy in this context?
It's complicated. Vatican II is very much a product of what I call in the book the Leonine Revolution, the dynamics let loose in the Church by Leo XIII between 1878 and 1903. I would say the authentic interpretation of Vatican II, which was offered by John Paul II and Benedict XVI, two men who, as quite younger men, played considerable roles at Vatican II, the authoritative interpretation they gave the Council was what John Paul II called the new evangelization. What the Second Vatican Council was about was the Church rediscovering that its fundamental purpose is to offer the world friendship with Jesus Christ, incorporation into the community of his disciples, and, as this has evolved over the past 40 years, a new way of thinking about political, social, and cultural modernity that just might save this increasingly weird and incoherent postmodern world from its own worst instincts.
You're listening to The Bookmonger, a production of National Review, and this episode is brought to you by Quip, the electric toothbrush. I'm a fan of Quip partly because the brush heads automatically delivered to your home on a schedule of every 3 months for just $5. One just arrived at my house the other day. It's so useful to have it come right to your door rather than have to remember to go out and get replacement heads. This is a friendly reminder when it's time for a refresh and to stay committed to your oral health. Quip starts at just $25, and if you go to getquip.com/book right now, you can get your first refill pack for free. That's your first refill pack for free at getquip.com/book. George, explain the title of the book, The Irony of Modern Catholic History. What's ironic about it?
I mean that a relationship between the church and the modern world that began with modernity literally trying to destroy the Catholic Church. Remember Voltaire, Bismarck's Kulturkampf, et cetera, et cetera. And the church reacting with considerable rhetorical heat, condemning modernity. So a relationship that begins with just the harshest imaginable confrontation ends up compelling the church to rediscover essential truths about itself as an evangelical and missionary enterprise. And in the course of doing that, the further irony is that the Catholic Church develops a social doctrine that just might help save an increasingly incoherent late modern and postmodern world from imploding, as we see it happening right now with the collapse of rationality in public life across the board.
All of this matters, of course, to Roman Catholic churchgoers. Does it matter to non-Catholic Christians? Do they have a stake in the Roman Catholic Church and how it confronts the modern world?
Yeah, I think they do, because I think, in fact, everybody does. I think the Jewish community does. I think non-believers do. Catholic Church is the largest body of religious believers on this planet. Its intellectual and moral health means something. As we have seen within living memory, the Catholic Church, particularly through the agency of Pope John Paul II, was at the center, at the pivot of the collapse of European communism. One of the great examples of a positive development in world affairs in our lifetime. So it makes a great difference whether the Catholic Church retains its intellectual and moral integrity for everybody. It's particularly important to Catholics, obviously, but the church is a global reference point. And in a world that is lacking moral reference points that can speak across huge divisions of identity and aspiration, it's an important thing that the Catholic Church flourish.
Your book is not about the recent sex abuse scandals, the wickedness of these sex abuse scandals in the church, but how do they play into the story you're telling? How much of a threat are they to this institution?
Well, first of all, John, as you'll remember, I wrote a book about the first book about these scandals 17 years ago called The Courage to be Catholic. And this new book, The Irony of Modern Catholic History, has a 25-page section at the end exploring what the latest round of abuse scandals and crises means. This is a moment of essential purification for the church. The church cannot be the missionary enterprise it must be if it does not live the truths that it proposes. And the sexual abuse of the young and failures of leadership to confront that are an enormous counter-witness to the truth that the church is privileged to propose. So this is an essential moment of purification for the church. And I would also say, speaking here specifically of the U.S. Catholic experience, that the Catholic Church has learned some things about addressing the global plague of sexually abusive behavior. This is a societal-wide plague. It is not limited to the Catholic Church. And we've learned some things about how to deal with this that might be useful to, say, public schools, where the problem is far worse than in the Catholic Church.
The author is George Weigel. The book is The Irony of Modern Catholic History, How the Church Rediscovered Itself and Challenged the Modern World to Reform. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this show, please take a minute to leave a review on iTunes. Your reviews help new listeners discover us, and that helps us keep this show going. We'll be back next week with a new episode of The Bookmonger.